You would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I forgot to write down the page number. What's that page number? Anybody has a red Bible there in front of you? 851. Page 851. Luke chapter 18. We are going to continue. We'll finish up chapter 18 today. And we'll continue to look at Luke, just the way Luke follows the story, puts together this story of Jesus. I love it. A while back, I took my car to my friendly mechanic, Chris. Had some problems with it. And yeah, just, hey, man, take a look. It's making, it's just doing some stuff. Take a look at it. And so when I went back and he kind of come out and he's, you know, he's explaining to me what's going on. And he says that the drive shaft solenoid is not communicating with the valve position sensor and it's throwing off the timing and it's causing a misfire in the turbo's RPMs. That's what I heard, right? That's I don't know if exactly that's what he said to me. That's what he's heard. And we were having, he's talking to me, you know, and go through all this. I'm standing there going, okay, all right. I'm agreeing to, you know, it's like, but really, it's going right over my head. Now, you ever been in a situation like that? Whether you've been to a mechanic or you've been in a classroom or you've been in a seminar or something and you're sitting across from somebody and they're explaining things and you're kind of going, you know, you're nodding your head, but in reality, it's going right over your head, right? This is where the disciples are in our scripture passage today. Jesus lays something heavy on them, and they're looking at Jesus, and they're going, did you get that? This is going right over their head. They couldn't see what Jesus was talking about. And then Luke follows up this story with a blind guy, a guy who couldn't see, but yet who sees what Jesus is all about and understands who Jesus really is. So let's start. Let's look in verse 31. I need to tell you, that was a made-up story with Chris. But anyhow, let's start. Let's pray before we jump into it, okay? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for a wonderful time of just singing and praising you and blessing you for who you are. That was really good. But Lord, now you want to bless us. You want to bless us, not by making us feel guilty, not by making us feel any shame. You want to bless us by revealing yourself to us and who you are and what you're all about. You want to bring us closer to you. And sometimes that is a little painful. But Lord, we pray that you would open up our eyes and open up our ears that we may see and hear and understand you a little better here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, starting at verse 31, Luke chapter 18. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Now, keep your finger there. And, you know, you think about this for a minute. The disciples certainly had some misconceptions about what the messiahship of Jesus was all about. They kind of came to the conclusion, well, he is the Messiah, but in their minds, they're thinking that, okay, what he's probably going to do is just going to be like a general in an army, and he is just going to lead a revolution against the Romans and kick out the Romans, and we can have our land back, and we can have our freedom back, and you know, and then Jesus is talking about they're going to mock and spit and insult and kill. And they're kind of going, well, he's probably just speaking in riddles again. He's probably just using some coded language that we don't understand. But it's interesting that Luke talks about here that it was hidden. It was hidden from them. It's almost like God was preventing them from really knowing what was going to happen, perhaps because they couldn't handle it all if they really knew what was going to happen. It reminds me of that movie, A Few Good Men, with Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. You remember that? I think this is what's going on here. That maybe, you know, sometimes God does that. Sometimes God doesn't clearly reveal our future or the path that he's leading us down, because if we knew what was ahead, some of us would be jumping in line and like trying to get things done that God didn't want to get done. And some of us would just, if we knew what God, the path that God was leading us down, some of us would just go, whoo, I'm out. And we would bail, right? Same thing with the disciples here. In a way, they are blind. They are blind. So let's look at verse 35. Luke continues the story. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. That's a cool story, isn't it? I love it. I love it. It's interesting the way that Luke sets up these two stories, right? The disciples are the insiders. They know all about Jesus. They've been traveling with him for a couple years, but he's showing us they are blind to who Jesus really is, what he's up to and what he can do. On the other hand, you have the blind man who knows who Jesus is because he calls him Son of David, which means that's a way of saying, I know you're the Messiah. Right? He cries out to him. And it's interesting that Luke tells us the people in the front are trying to shut him up. And I'm wondering if the people in the front were the disciples. And so Luke puts these two stories together. And he has an interesting question for us to think about. And that is this: what am I not seeing? What am I not seeing? Jesus had often accused the disciples of not being able to see spiritually on previous occasions, of not being able to understand the important things of God, not being able to understand the things of the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 8, he said, do you still see, do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? It's a question for us. What are you not seeing? Spiritually, what are you blind to in your life? Now, you've heard this phrase too before. Often we don't know what we don't know, right? There could be stuff out there, spiritual stuff out there that we don't know that we don't know. We just don't know. There are things about God. There are things about the Christian life and following Jesus. There are things about ourselves. There's things of our relationship with Jesus that maybe we just don't get yet that we should. It's kind of like the experience that I have whenever I get new eyeglasses, and probably you have experienced this too, right? You kind of get used to your dirty old lenses. At least I do. I got scratches on mine. You know, there's like almost like permanent grime on there. They don't fit. These don't fit right now. I'm always adjusting them, right? And then you go to the eye doctor and you get new glasses. And you put them on and, oh, they are so snug, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, you read a book and the words just pop out at you, right? I didn't know they were, it used to be blurry. They're really not blurry anymore, right? But, you know, it's nothing outside me has changed. What changed was the lens I was looking through. What lenses are you looking through? Think about this. What lenses are you looking through as you go through life? Do you look through the lens of a painful experience in your past that is affecting your spiritual vision? Do you look through the lens of a disappointment in your life? Or that's something that somebody did to you in your past and it is affecting the way that you see God and the way you see the things of God. Maybe your upbringing, the way that your parents were. Maybe it's your politics. Maybe it's a bad habit that you have that is affecting the way that you see spiritually. Maybe it's your expectations of what you think God should be doing, and it's coming up short, and so that's skewing your vision. So keep this question in the back of your mind. What am I not seeing? What am I not seeing? So here's this man who hears this commotion, and he asks, What's all this going on? He's told it is Jesus of Nazareth. Well, he's heard the stories. He's heard the rumors about this guy Jesus and what he can do and the miracles. And maybe he's just thinking, wow, it's worth a shot, right? And so he calls out Jesus' name, trying to get Jesus' attention, trying to get him to come over. But he shouted down. Why would they shut this man down? It's because Jesus was probably teaching as he was going. You know, shut up, man. Jesus is getting, that would be me if I was a disciple. I'd be at the leader of the crowd, right? I'd be, you know, protecting Jesus. And Jesus is getting to the important part of main point. And here's this guy, shut up. Jesus is getting to the main point. Shut up. But this man now shouts and screams, right? Luke actually uses a different word. The first time he cries out, the second time now he's shouting and screaming. You ever been around somebody that's shouting to try and get attention? I mean, it's like, man, you can't ignore him. You cannot ignore him. So this is what's going on here. This guy is persistent. He's persistent because this guy Jesus is Messiah. This guy Jesus changes lives. This guy Jesus is coming by, and he's got to grab this moment, man, because he knows this could be his only chance. His only chance at a different life, at a better life, to change the trajectory of his life right now. And so he persistently yells and screams for Jesus. And that leads us to Luke's second question, and that is this: how badly do I want to see? How badly do I want to see? I remember last year before Diana had her knee replacement surgery, she had got to the point where she was walking differently. You know, she was kind of limping, and she was walking with a little bit of a shuffle, and I could hear it as she shuffles along the kitchen floor. And she would avoid certain movements because that brought on more pain. There were certain places that we couldn't go. Well, we can't go there because that means I got to walk. Okay, cross that off the list, right? And it almost, in our family, it became kind of normal. Up to that point, she got used to it. She just, well, this is, you know, I just got to deal with this. This is how life is right now. Until somebody comes along and says, you know, you can do something about that. You can get a knee replacement. Right? And then all of a sudden, you have a decision that you make, because it's not like, oh, yes, please give me a knee replacement. Boom. Oh, there's a new knee. That doesn't happen, right? If you're going to get a knee replacement, there's a lot of stuff that you got to go through. There's a ton of appointments. There is, of course, there's going to be generally a cost involved. Even if you have insurance, there's going to be a cost involved, most likely. You're going to miss a ton of work if you're working. You got to go through more pain. The more pain of physical therapy and exercises. You might need to change some habits in your life. And so you got to ask yourself, how badly is it worth it, right? How badly do I want that new knee? Am I willing to go through all of that? Or can I just stay the way that I am and get used to the way things are and deal with the pain and the limp? You know, sometimes we develop spiritual limps in our life where we just kind of respond, well, that's just the way that I am. I've always had a temper, right? I've always been kind of a judgmental person, or I've always been a cynical person. I've always been a worrier. I've always had a low self-esteem, and I'm always looking to other people and comparing myself. That's just the way that I am. I've always had this habit, this bad habit in my life that just seems to control me and take over, and I just can't get over it. I always need to be doing something. You know, I always need to be busy. I can't slow down. I just need to be active, and you know, it's just the way that I am. And sometimes we get to the point where we say, that's just the way that I am. I'm good. I'll keep my spiritual limp. Thank you very much. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus didn't just come to help us manage our brokenness. In other words, if we've got a spiritual limp, Jesus didn't say, hey, let me be a crutch. No, Jesus came to heal us, and he came to save us, right? John 10:10, Jesus said this, I came so that you could have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. That is what Jesus said. That's not talking about heaven, that's talking about now, real life. Jesus told his disciples on the worst night of their life, he's going to die. He tells them, I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be complete. That's what Jesus is about. And so the question becomes, how badly do you want to walk without that limp? How badly do you want to see? So Jesus has this man brought to him, and I love how he engages the man in this story. The guy isn't just brought up to him and Jesus said, oh, I see you're blind. You're healed. Turn around and go. He asked the guy a question. What do you want me to do for you? And now this man has to make a choice, right? Because, let's think about this for a minute. Maybe this guy has gotten comfortable in his situation. He might have been blind for a number of years. He might have just got used to the routine of going out to the corner and, you know, with his cup and with people passing by and, you know, alms for the poor or the blind. You know, he might have just got, this is what he knew. This is what he was used to. How easy it would have been for this guy to just ask Jesus, hey, I know you're the son of David. I know you have some connections. I know you've got some wealthy people backing you. How about putting some big coins in my cup? You see him doing that? Put some big money, man. I know you got connections. It's like, I love our granddaughters. 4 and 8 years old. And not too long ago, we had them over. Had a meal for him, and it was a time when people had brought tons of desserts to the house, including Diana had made a wonderful carrot cake. People brought cherry pie. There was a cherry cheesecake. There was some cookies. There might have been even some peanut butter brownies in there. There was a ton of stuff. And after the meal, he asked the granddaughters, hey, we got some great desserts. What do you want? Diana's like, you know, I made some good carrot cake, you know. What do you want? And the little one, 4 years old, says, you have any gummies? because that's the special treat of choice in our house, you know. And then the 8-year-old said, yeah, I want gummies. But we got all this good dessert. No, you got gummies, you know. And sometimes I wonder if that's our prayer to God, if that's what we ask for, how easy it is whenever we pray to just think about our immediate needs. If Jesus came to us today, just think about this for a minute. Jesus came to you today and he said, what do you want me to do for you? How many of us would think $1 million would sound great? Right? Jesus, I got this problem in my life. I want you to fix. Jesus, just make my kids or my grandkids behave. That's all I want. Jesus, I lost my car keys. Now, I'm not criticizing. Jesus is interested in every detail of our lives, and we should certainly go to prayer in everything, right? It's okay to pray for your lost car keys. But, you know, sometimes I think when Jesus would come to us and speak to us and just say, well, what can I do for you? Sometimes I think we just settle for gummies, you know? And Jesus says, is that all you want? What about if we said to Jesus, man, I want you to change me to become like you. I want my character to be like yours. What if we said to Jesus, I want you to free me from this thing that has been dragging me down for a number of years? I just can't seem to shake it. Jesus, would you free me from this? What if we said, Jesus, man, I want to love people the way that you love people. Because I'm bombarded by this world that is just not doing that. And in myself, I know I don't love people. I want to love people like you do. I want to see people like you do. What if we said, Jesus, I want you to take my life. And I want you to use my abilities. I want you to use my money. I want you to use my time for your kingdom. Would you show me how I can do that? And so our third question from Luke is, what do I want Jesus to do for me? What do I want Jesus to do for me? See, the blind man, he went big, right? I want to see. He could have asked for a few more bucks to get him through, not just a day, but for a whole week or maybe a month. Instead, he asked for a different life. We're dealing here. We want to remember. We're dealing here with a God who took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we sing about. He can do the same sort of stuff in our lives. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. You can underline that in your outline. That God's mighty power is at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. When Jesus asks you a question, think big. Go big. So we might say there are 2 kinds of people in the world then. Those who know that they're blind and those who are blind to their blindness. If you know you're blind, like the blind man who knew he was blind, then do this. Keep crying out to Jesus. Keep crying out to Jesus. Psalm 41 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And Jesus knows us. He knows our situation. So I ask you Be persistent. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep coming to church. Keep asking Jesus to change you. Keep asking how you might make this world a better place. Don't let the crowd silence you. Don't let society get you down or discourage you. Keep calling His name, because He will change your life. And if you don't know that you're blind, you might be here thinking, what is he talking about? Sometimes we don't know we're blind. We talked about this. We don't know we're blind. If we're like the disciples and we don't know we're blind, guess what? Keep following Jesus. Keep following Jesus until he opens your eyes. The thing about the disciples, I like this in the story too. Right? They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. You can imagine Jesus is saying that. They kind of looked at one another going, right? But they kept following him. They kept following him. And eventually, their eyes were opened, right? There's going to be stuff that happens in the world. There's going to be stuff that happens in your life that just really brings you down, that you go to God and just say, I don't understand why. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand why you're doing this. Keep following Jesus until he opens your eyes. Because whether you know you're blind or you don't, the answer is the same. Stay close to Jesus, because he's the one who opens blind eyes. Amen? Man, you bow your head, please. And I want you to think, in our time of silence right here, just think about that question. Think about Jesus asking you this question. What do you want me to do for you? How would you answer that question to Jesus? Now, what I want you to do is this. I want you to listen for God's response to you. I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You told Jesus what you want. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you, giving you some direction of what he wants you to do next. Listen for the Spirit to speak to you. What is God saying to you? Father God, sometimes we know we're blind. Sometimes we are blind to our blindness. We just don't know what we don't know. And so, Lord, as we sang earlier, would you open our eyes to see what we've been missing? We want to see you more clearly. We want to see ourselves more truthfully. We want to see other people the way that you see them. Lord, give us some courage to answer that question. What do you want me to do for you? May we answer that question with something bigger than the small things that often consume us. Lord, we pray that you would change us, that you would heal what is broken in our lives, that you would free us from what holds us back, that you would make us more like your son, Jesus. And Lord, when we don't understand what you're doing or where you're leading, would you give us faith to keep following? Lord, when we are discouraged, would you give us some internal fortitude and persistence to keep crying out? And would you keep us close to you? because you are the one who opens blind eyes and leads us into the abundant life. We ask these things in the name of our precious Jesus. Amen.